Shiva to an unbelievably small, minor vart of the Baal Shem Tov, which is just a little vart on a pasuk. It has couched into it two incredible yesodos. One about the first, one is a major theme that can be overlooked in Sefer Shmos, and one is a major theme that can be overlooked in trying to grow the Ben Torah. Interestingly enough, the Jews arrive thirsty, and they complain they want water, but they start drinking it, and unfortunately they can't because the pasuk says, Ki marim hein, which Alpi Pashas is referring to the water. You can't drink really bitter water. It's terrible. It's bitter. Matter of fact, in halacha lemaisa, if the people have to take medicine important medicine, Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur, so certainly on Yom Kippur, maybe on Tisha B'Av, you do a less than a shiur. They tell you, make the water bitter. This way it's not terrible going down. Bitter water is not good. And therefore you understand where they're coming from. However, it says the Baal Shem Tov, Ki Marim Haim. The word haim, the pronoun haim, may not be referring to the water, but maybe referring to them. In other words, it's true the water was a little bit bitter. But like when you're out in the desert, and this is all you got, it requires a very bitter person not to drink. Now the reason why it's a big yesod in Sefer Shmos is because so much of Sefer Shmos is a transformation of a people who had just left with a deep slave mentality that is very, very difficult to remove. And the goal is to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, and with the slave mentality, with that negativity, with that down-spirited and down-trotted attitude, it's very difficult to rise to the occasion. The Evin Ezra points out that this is exactly the mindset they had at Kriyas Yamsuf. The Evin Ezra, interestingly, in our parsha, wants to know, how is it that the Jews who have 600,000 men, plus women and children, older than 60, younger than 20, cannot defend themselves against 600 chariots? How many people went in each chariot? Two? Let's really give the Egyptians the benefit of the doubt. 10? Let's say 100. That would still be 60,000 versus 600,000. And there weren't 100. And it's not like war today where if I have some type of sophisticated, military tanks and planes, I could beat a whole army. In those days, it was whoever had more people would probably win. Even if it's like 10 to 1 and you have a sword to 1, 10 of us are probably going to beat you. So 600,000 versus probably 6,000 people, 10 per chariot, they outnumber them 100 to 1, says the Ibn Ezra, big Yesod and Shmos. The Jews were a broken nation, recently emancipated with no confidence in themselves. All their lives they were oppressed by the Egyptians and finally have a chance to fight back, but they can't because mentally they're broken. I remember thinking about this Ebenezer when I was in Poland. And I forgot which of the gas chambers there were. There were like 35, Nazis, SSR officers, putting to death 10,000 Jews every day. Crazy numbers. 35. The answer is when you break down a person so much, he acts broken. And so much of the beginning of Sefer Shmos is cultivating a culture where Klal Yisrael can believe. One of the reasons why it took him so long to play all the makos is because the Jews had to believe. One of the reasons that Kadosh Baruch Hu kills all the Mitzrim after educating them in Egypt is because the Jews should see the Mitzrim that we can trust in Hashem. Hashem gives them man and wants to trust them with the man. It says, don't go out on Shabbos, don't take too much. For like the post-Holocaust mindset, you're gathering as much as you can. Sefer Shemos is almost like a trial period. Can the Jews have faith and trust in God? Or are they, frankly, too bitter? And so many of the stories is the Kadosh Baruch Hu testing them, encouraging them, and talking to them, and trying to transform them from a post-slave nation into a pre-Eretz Yisrael nation. To help them develop confidence and trust and faith in themselves and in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To help them have an optimistic perspective on life. And it's a big yesod based upon this little vart in Sefer Shmos, but it's also a big yesod in life. It's a big yesod in life. Seeing life positively is not just a great midah, it leads to more great midahs. the more you're happy with yourself in life, the more you're happy with the world around you, the easier it is to love Hashem, love His world, and serve Him properly. And what helps us become happy in life is being positive. And lest the pessimist, masked by the term realist, skeptically sitting here listening and saying, well, I'm a realist, it really is half empty. My response is no, it's really half empty and half full. It's really both. You're focusing only on the half empty side. That's why you're a pessimist. I am an optimist. I'm focusing only on the half full side. I recognize both. The glass is physically half full and half empty. I'm focusing on the half full part because I'm an optimist. What's so bad about being a pessimist, about not being able to dream, about being cynical? The answer is twofold. Number one is that you're cynical. You're a pessimist. And you can't dream. You lose the ability to see better. You lose the ability to love God's world. You lose the ability to take advantage of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. But beyond that, you find yourself not just immediately losing out, but you lose the opportunity to dream. And with the opportunity to dream, it's difficult to achieve greatness. The only way you can ever achieve greatness in life is to start out dreaming about greatness. The only way you can really, really, really dream about greatness is if you think it's, on some level, some chance of reality. It's not a real dream in terms of the being awake dream. Like, I have a dream to become the Mashiach. I'm not taking any steps towards it. I have a dream to become a multi-billionaire. I've taken very few steps towards it, including career choice. It's a dream. I don't know if it happens. Great. If not, like, you know, if I win the lottery, it'd be great, but I don't play the lottery. It's like, I'm not doing that. Like, that. My dream is to become a great Rebbe. My real dream. If I wouldn't have thought optimistically I can do it, there's no chance I'd ever be able to pull that off. I have a dream to become a Talmid Chacham. I have a dream to become a good father. I have a dream to become a good husband. I have a dream to become a good friend. I have a dream to become a kind and sensitive person. I have a dream to impact everyone I meet, including Talmidim and everyone, positively. I hope when people walk away, they say, wow, life is better than it was beforehand, even if they don't articulate their thoughts that way, and I don't expect them to. I have a dream of being an optimist. I think optimism helps me build towards where I want to get to. I've said this in the past, and I'll reiterate, I believe happiness doesn't come naturally, you have to earn it. Some people earn it easier than others, but the way you earn it is by choosing to be an optimist, choosing to have a positive attitude. I look long-term, you know what keeps people learning long-term? Like, what determines the men from the boys in learning? 5 years from now, 10 years from now, balabatim, 3 years, 15 years, 30 years. Part of it's the dream. Do you see yourself waking up Sunday morning with a Gemara and a Rashba open? Do you see yourself Sunday morning up with the New York Times? Nothing against the New York Times. I think there part of it is the optimism and seeing you can do it. Picturing yourself 2 years from now, picturing yourself wherever you go to college, whether it's YU or elsewhere, learning night seder, picturing yourself in the summers learning, picturing yourself as a balabas learning, picturing yourself, seeing it. I don't know how the details are going to work out. I want it to happen. I care enough. I know it can happen. I can make it happen. I'm positive about it happening. Positive tarti mashma. Convinced as well as optimistic. But there are two particular ingredients I think that work well to internalize as well. Number one, responsibility. Number two, intellectual curiosity. And while you're in yeshiva and you're building towards a lifetime of dedication to Talmud Torah, a lifetime of dedication to Yiras Shamayim, a lifetime of dedication of everything we're supposed to be building towards, Shmiras HaMitzvahs and Halacha and Frumkites and everything. What separates people, I think, the men from the boys, so to speak, is twofold. Number one is responsibility. I am responsible to do this. What are the odds of not doing Shabbos this Shabbos? Zero. What are the odds of not putting on tefillin tomorrow? I'm so confident. I feel a responsibility. It's more than responsibility, but it's at least a responsibility. I'm going to daven mincha today, put on tefillin tomorrow, keep Shabbos on Shabbos, make kiddush Friday night. I hold of myself too much to allow myself to fall below that. And we should enter into that category, commitment to Talmud Torah long term. We are entering, we are bringing that into the category of Talmud Torah long term. In high school, you're like, yeah, hopefully, maybe, well, you know. I see myself keeping all the halachas, every single one of them. Not pretending they don't exist, not shying away from calling a posek if I have a real shayla. I see myself through that responsibility to do it right, number one, and number two is, I love it. The brilliance of a machlokas, we show them like this, is so kishmash. The intellectual stimulation I get from understanding what's behind the machlokas tosis in the Ramban, or figuring out a ketosis, or understanding your chayim, it's just so unbelievable. I think what lasts is responsibility and excitement. The way you maintain responsibility and excitement is half putting yourself in a good environment. Putting yourself in a base medrash, putting yourself in a chevra, putting yourself around people who inspire and encourage. And number two is optimism. The odds of you accomplishing great things with your life are shockingly small if you don't dream optimistically about it. And as we spend time focusing on developing ourselves into the B'nai Torah we want to be for life. And we should constantly be thinking about it. Even when you're 50, you should be thinking, how do I want to be a B'nai Torah the rest of my life? But still, when you're in yeshiva, you do it more so. That's just the reality. As we sculpt and craft and mold ourselves to the people we want to be, there has to be a sense of, I believe in myself optimistically. I'm not going to avoid drinking this water, ki marim him. I see myself accomplishing great religious goals. I plan on implementing that plan. I plan on internalizing. I plan on stabilizing. I plan on making it me. Davening properly. You cannot daven with a lot of kavana if you don't optimistically see yourself as a person who can daven properly. If davening is a chore, you treat it like a chore. If davening is an opportunity, you treat it that way. You want to see, you cannot be a person who is patient enough with others and smiles with a sense of friendliness, with positivity, with care, with love, unless you see yourself optimistically as a person. I can do that. I can become that person. Not I want to be that person. I can use those qualities and become a person like that. I always talk about role models. Use a role model not to become like him, to watch him and allow yourself to become a better you. I can learn from, you know, I remember when I was younger, I had a good friend who used to have such a warm smile. I'm still working on it. Rav Tzicki has one of the warmest smiles in the world. You have to know him so the guy smiles. He's like, you know, plastic surgery, just check his lips and cut him up like this. If anyone has the opportunity to watch Rav Yeager, his midos are off the charts. You watch Rav Sheshar, you speak to him in one-on-one. You see Rav Cutler's inside. Take advantage of the Rebbeim in the yeshiva. Learn from them. Take advantage of the older guys in the yeshiva. Learn from them. Take advantage of the opportunities in yeshiva from them. Use whatever you can to help you believe optimistically you can do great things in the Avodas Hashem. Mirtz Hashem, as we continue our path in yeshiva and in life, of sculpting and molding and crafting ourselves with people who serve Hashem as best as we possibly can. We should do it optimistically. Because when you're too bitter, when you complain too much, when life is never good enough for you, when things just stink, the punishment for that attitude is living a life where things stink. The reward for living a life where things are great is your life is awesome, things are great. Appreciate it, Kadosh Baruch Hu's world. Appreciate the unique opportunity of being Na'am HaNivkar. Appreciate the opportunity to serve Hashem properly. Love it, enjoy it, internalize it. The Mirtz Hashem together, in contrast to the Jews who are Kim Arim Hei, with optimism, with positivity, with ambition, we should grow to the greatest Mirtz we can. I wish you have a good challenge. Yeah. Can you say that to Jacob Rosenfeld?